Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We just pray, Lord, again, as we open your word, we pray that our hearts would be open to receive from your Spirit, that your word, again, would open our eyes to the truth, Lord, what it means to truly be saved. And Lord, that you truly are waiting with open arms for all of us who've called upon the name of Jesus. Bless this time, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at two verses and then we'll launch into Joshua. Fear not, I do have notes this day. So Hebrews chapter 11. I remember when I moved into this apartment, California, it had a pool. Well, I was just living there by myself, so I just never used the pool. And I just pretty much kept to myself, went to work. Didn't really do anything there. Well, one time, one of my brothers and I were doing something. I don't even remember what it was, but it was a hot day in California. And he said something like, man, it's hot. I wish we had a pool. I go, I got a pool at my apartment. He goes, you do? Let's go. So I remember we went in through this gate. This gate had this key. I had the key to it. I opened up, went in there. And it was funny because when we walked in there, there's these two young guys. All these eyes around the pool, they all started staring at us. I thought it was weird. We just both looked at each other, shrugged our shoulders, jumped in the pool, started swimming. Shh, shh, shh. And it was weird because they're all staring at us. Then I noticed this one guy going into the office like this. And the manager comes out. Now, I had interaction with the manager because I would drop off the check. But now I guess it's kind of weird. My hair is wet and everything. She comes up and she goes, I'm sorry, but you have to be a resident here to use the pool. I go, I am a resident. She goes, which apartment? I gave her my apartment. She goes, Luke? I go, yes, ma'am. She goes, oh, I didn't recognize you. Well, you have to register a guest. So we're going to have to ask your guest to leave. Brother looks at me and goes, what kind of place is this? Realize he was my older brother. He would have said a few other things, but he says, hey, I'll just go. I go, well, if you're going, I'm going too. So then we walked out. And it was just funny. Everybody sat there and just stared and watched us walk out. Needless to say, I never used the pool again.
Hey, have you ever been in a place that you haven't felt welcome? Or maybe you're on the other side and you're going, boy, they'll just let anybody in here. Well, the title of this message is, will they let just anybody in heaven? Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at just two verses, starting at verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab? A harlot? Well, tell you what. Turn to Joshua chapter 2 and let's look at this story real quick. And what we'll do is we'll read through it. And then we'll go back over it. Now Joshua, verse 1, the son of Nun, sent out two men from the acacia wood grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of the harlot named Rahab, lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men, hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, When it was dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she hid and laid in order on the roof. And the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them to the roof and said to them, Men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, but the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you have come out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither there remained any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house. Give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, saying, Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, and we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let down by the rope, not her hair, through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So then the men said to her, We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own house. So it was, and be whosoever goes outside the doors of the house into the streets, his blood shall be on his own head. And we will be guiltless, and whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if the hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from their oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, According to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Now, what happened? Well, if we turn to chapter 6, we'll see the conclusion of this. Flipping over to chapter 6, verse 22. No, you know, 21. This is the truth of it. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, donkey and the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house. From there bring out the woman and all that she has, and you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze, the iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers from Joshua, who sent out to spy Jericho. And you know the story of Jericho. The walls and everything we saw. Faith, the walls fell down. And basically, if you will, it was one of the cities of the Amorites. Now, to further understand about this, because they were all destroyed, and that's what God commanded, completely destroy Jericho. Completely. Wipe it out. Now, you remember the walls fell down, right? I walked away from that. That's what you guys are laughing at. I said, why are you guys laughing? I'm not saying a joke. I'm not looking at Brian. That was my problem. Brian, I'm looking at you. The walls all fell down. Now, you always think about that story, but you do realize that there was a section of wall that didn't fall. Rahab's house is in the wall. The cord had to stay there. They had to stay in that room. They were safe. Now, to further understand the background of this, I'm going to refer to John MacArthur. He says this, says, Rahab lived in Jericho at the time of Joshua. Her house was not in some back alley of town, but perched right on the famous wall. The wall must have been a wide affair, certainly spacious enough on top for buildings in either a walkway or a road. This was almost certainly a prime location in the high-rent business district. It is fair to assume, then, that Rahab enjoyed a phenomenal financial success in her trade. Unfortunately, her trade was prostitution. She regularly sold herself to the most wicked men in that already wicked city. Jericho was a part of the Amorite kingdom, a grotesquely violent, totally depraved, thoroughly pagan culture, so hell-bent on the pursuit of everything evil that God himself had condemned them and ordered the Israelites to wipe them from the face of the earth. In fact, the Amorite culture had been so completely and maliciously corrupt for so long, going back to at least the time of Abraham, that the evil lifestyle was the very reason God had granted Abraham and his heirs rights to the land in the first place. The Lord had promised Abraham that his descendants would begin to possess the land as soon as the wickedness of the Amorites was complete. That time had now come. This evil nation had reached God's maximum tolerance level. Rahab, therefore, was the vileness of the Amorite culture at a point when they had collectively filled the measure of human wickedness to its very brim. Her whole life had been devoted to the profane pursuit of carnal self-gratification. Her livelihood was totally dependent on consensual evil. She was enslaved to the most diabolical kinds of passion, in bondage to her own sin, and held captive by the monstrosities society that was itself already under God's sentence of condemnation indeed. Ryan? You get the picture? There's nothing good in this woman, gang. So why her? James tells us because she acted on hid the spies that was the outwork of her faith. But what we're going to see in here, really, if we just look, we're going to see salvation, process, and everything that goes through not only a heart, but also God's heart. The first thing to take note of is why did the spies go into that house? Now, it's true, she was a prostitute, and they can basically hide by sneaking in there, by going in there, really, because nobody really looks, if you will, because that's known as a place you just don't look. But really, this is a society that doesn't really care if you really want to look into it. They don't care. It was probably a typical thing. Foreigners come in, they go in there. But how many prostitutes were there? Why this one? Well, it's very simple, and I suggest this to you. It's the same thing when Jesus went to Samaria. It says that he needed to go to Samaria. Well, what happened? Remember the woman at the well? She needed to hear the word. Understand this. God told them to wipe out Jericho. Actually, to wipe out all the Canaanites. Except for Rahab. And we'll find out too, the Gideonites. Except for Rahab and her family. That's why. She had to be saved. Understand this. God seeks out those who are hungry and thirsty. God seeks out those who will come to faith. God will never let anybody go to hell that really has a heart for him. Be at rest. Be assured. God's always at work. Even in the furthest parts of this world, God's at work. God doesn't need us. God uses us. God always has a witness. It's a spirit. So God's always at work. But it's so cool and so interesting to see this one woman who you think, Rahab, of all the people in Jericho, Rahab, really? But she acts out in such a way that's very interesting to me. But first, let's look at her name. Her name means broad and wide. Oh, but doesn't that bring to mind a scripture? Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There's many who go by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are so few who find it. What a weird picture. But it's not just that, but what's Jericho famous for? It's famous for walls. Well, do you know that walls are for safety and security, but do you also realize that us is a harbinger of sin? Psalm tells us, destroy, O Lord, and divide the tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. What are we taught in Scripture? Our sin separates us from God. Walls also separate us from God. We build walls. Every one of us. We think we need these walls. We think we're secure in those walls. This is who I am. I have to be this way. I have to be free. I'm born to be wild. Blah, 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 blah. But the reality is it enslaves us. Keeps us captive. Christ has come to break down the walls. No more division between people. No more division between Him. So it's interesting that we see these two things, but also take note of something else, is that she looked at them, verse 4, and she took them. That word took means to lay a hold of and seize, to accept and to receive. She took a hold of them to hide them. But also in that same verse, in verse 4, she hid them. But that word means esteem. To treasure up. What'd she do? She recognized something. She recognized that these were men of God. She recognized that they had something she wanted. Isn't that what the Samaritan woman discovered? First she said, I perceive that you're a prophet to Jesus. And then she said something about, well, when the Messiah comes, He'll tell us all things. But then when Jesus said, I am the Messiah, she believed it. Rahab was hungry. Rahab was hurting. Rahab was thirsty. Now in verse 10 we see something that's very typical for people that come to salvation. Because she said, for we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. But when you came out of Egypt and what you did, the two kings of the Amorites, we heard. Well, we understand something, that faith comes by hearing. But see, there's something even more to it. Because if you notice, she's talking about the whole city heard. And as soon as we heard, verse 11 says, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain more courage in anyone because of you. And that word courage basically means breath. We lost our breath. We lost everything. The whole city. We heard. We heard of the works of God. From 40 years ago till recently. And yet, she is the only one that's entering into a discussion about who is this God. Now again, in Romans, we hear, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. They have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you see, it's basically laid out just like all the time. It's the same thing. It doesn't change. It's hearing. It's hearing of the work of God, but it's also believing. It's believing in what He's done, what He's doing. It's not just hiding in the walls. It's not just rejecting what God has done, but it's accepting. It's receiving. That's what Rahab's doing here. She's hearing. But notice also, she said her heart's melted. There's a conviction. What's the Holy Spirit's come to do? To convict the world of sin. of separation from God. Do you think the Holy Spirit wasn't active in the Old Testament? No, you're wrong. He was. And He is. And He always shall be. The Holy Spirit was convicting Rahab. We also see something else here. Look what she says. She says, because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God, heaven above and on earth beneath. Now the word Lord is Jehovah. It's Yahweh. It's the existing one. It's the proper name of God. And it's only the Jews that would know that. How does she know this? But she's acknowledging that He is the existing one, that He is the God of heaven and earth. She's confessing this to them. So a confession is being made. What does Romans tell us? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with mouth the confession is made unto salvation. And that's what she's doing here. She's confessing it with her mouth. We know that He is God. He's the God of gods. He's the existing one. We've heard of His works, and I confess that He is God. Now in verse 12 and 13, going over it again, it says, now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, you will also show me kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my family, myself. Spare is salve and save. Swear to me you'll save us. Swear to me. We understand salvation, don't we? But see, it's not just save, it's deliver. Deliver us. Save us. Deliver us. Deliver means to take away, snatch away, rescue. These are all, again, salvation terms. Lives. Spare our lives. Lives of souls. What is she doing? She understands the need to be saved. Remember the Philippian jailer? If you don't remember, basically it was Paul and Silas. They were in jail and it was late at night and they were singing praise songs. So then there was a mighty earthquake. And the jail cells were all split open. The jailer came in and was drawing a sword. Why? Because he would have to take the punishment of those that had escaped. And some of them, the penalty was going to be death. So he was just going to end his life. Paul said, hey, don't do that. We're still here. So then what did the jailer do? He ran, fell on his knees and face and said, basically, what must I do to be saved? It was a cry out, a need, an understanding, the need to be saved. And that's what she's showing here. Now, drop down to, verse 21. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Why? I should basically back up, shouldn't I? Verse 18, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all in the household, so then what she do, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and she departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. What's the scarlet cord? Scarlet. Yeah, it's crimson, it's red. She was putting it in the window. See, that's how they marked it. That reminds you of? Reminds you of the Exodus. Reminds you of the Passover lamb. Reminds you of taking the blood and applying it on the doors. What was she to do? She was to apply the blood. Oh, maybe she didn't understand it, but it was God giving a graphic illustration for everyone to understand something. See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But we understand something too as we've gone further into our faith. That's more than that now. Why? Because we understand the blood of bulls and goats ashes of heifers sprinkled of unclean sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's applying the blood. It's understanding that it's through the blood of Christ. It's Christ giving of his blood for us, washing us clean. It's the need, it's the desire, it's all these things of realizing I'm way separated from God. I'm going the way of destruction. And the only thing that's keeping God away from me is myself, my own walls, my sin. But again, it's the desire to want to know something more. Recognizing God's word being spoken, whether it's through a man or through just his word. It's truth. I desire more out of life. And as I hear these things, my faith should grow. If it's not, then again, I look at it through man's eyes. I heard recently, again, an old story about Shirley MacLaine, and she read the Bible when she was a young girl, and she realized in her own mind, after she had read it the whole way through, that it was wrong. Because it didn't go along with what she thought God should be. Basically. And if you read the Bible that way with preconceived ideas or agenda, you're not going to miss it. But if you see it as God has revealed it, and that is we're lost apart from him. And he knew we were lost. And he drew the picture in the Old Testament constantly, you're lost. And that's why I've come. That's why I've taken your sin upon me and died for you. The shedding of my blood, so your blood wouldn't have to be shed. You're saved. You say, well, how do we apply that? Well, actually, communion service, we're applying it. Not in the sense of literally, but figuratively. We're remembering what he did. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's washed me clean. I'm clean because of him. Because of him, I'm now born again. That's what Rahab was. She was born again. Do you know that? How do I know that? How can I say that? Well, if you look at Matthew chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. It's very interesting because it starts off with the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And it goes down to verse 3 and 4. It says, Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nahasun. Nahasun begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. What? Rahab. Rahab is now in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now the picture becomes broader. And the picture becomes, wow, God knew that. And we think, oh, this is all happen chance. The spies just happen to be there. We just happen to go in there. No, 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 no. Sometimes we think about that in our own faith. Oh, it was just happen chance. I just happened to be there. It was, you know, I don't know if it really took or anything, but I heard. And that. No, no, no. With God, there is no happen chance. God's got a work to do. And he seeks those who will come to him. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. God seeks out that which is lost. Jesus said, that one sheep that's lost, I will go after. Rahab needed to be saved. God had a calling on her. But so cool, too, as you notice, I read that she was kept out of the camp. How long was that? Don't know. Time of the writing, so time of Joshua writing it, we assume Joshua wrote it. But there was a time that Solomon married her. She became part of the community. That's all you need to know. She entered in. She became a part of the children of Israel, the children of God. Our faith. God used her. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's a good story. It's good truth. But so what would be applied for us? Well, first of all, the understanding that God works in mysterious ways. You don't know who God's going to save. See, we like to say something theologically. We like to say election, predestination. And usually that just scares people. Let's just simplify it. See, you don't know, God does. God hasn't said, you're saved, you're not because I say so, even though he could. No. See, God says, I know those who are mine. See, just as he knew Rahab would come to him. All heard. Don't forget that. They all heard. They all heard the works of God. There's only one who believed. As far as we know, just her and her whole family. Meaning her family must have believed too, right? They came into the room. God knows this. Why is that such a wonderful, wonderful doctrine? Because, again, if you try to think it too much through, humanly speaking, you're missing it. Why? What it's showing is how great and how wonderful, how all-knowing God is. God knows. I don't. And yet, again, we see throughout Scripture that God cries out to all mankind. They all had a chance to go to Rahab. They all had a chance to realize God is God. They all did. So we too, it's not for us to say, well, they must be the elect or not. No, no, no. We don't understand that. All we know is that we go out to preach. We're like the two spies. Sure. But there's something else deeper here too. But I want us all to walk away with. To understand something. Solidify something in your heart. It's not about how strong your faith is. At all. Faith is only, again, a vehicle, an eye, perception, and understanding. That's what faith is. It builds into a trust as you hear that faith builds. But it's really what that faith is put into. And we've talked about this so many times here. That's what faith is. When people say you've got to have faith, well, again, all depends on where's your faith? What's it in? I mean, I can have faith that I can go down there and I can play the lottery. I'm going to win. But is that faith really founded? No. Because now it's just wishful thinking. That's all that is. No, no. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is basically God saying, you're hearing this story. Do you believe me? Do you? See, that's what John kind of alludes to, if you will. He says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. But this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. What have we learned about lying? God doesn't lie. Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Are you still doubting? Stop. Do you believe in the Son of God? Let's end this right now. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. God is at work in your life. God hasn't given up on you. God never gives up. God takes that which the world discards and brings out a Rahab. John Newton. You know John Newton. We sing one of the songs all the time, Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader. That's why he wrote Amazing Grace. How can God save a wretch like me, who used people like animals, who used them as basically, if you will, property, treated them like animals, and God saved me? God will, who's allowed in heaven? Anybody and everybody that will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Then trust in him who is able to keep you in his hand. Trust him who is able to take that faith, that little mustard seed that he said, Christ said to you, all you had to have was this little seed, basically give it to me and watch it grow. Do you know why many times that you can't enjoy sin? That's because God's saying, you know what? I made you for something totally different. You're called to such a higher calling. Not because you're sinless. No. Because I'm sinless and I died for you. I got a life for you. An abundant life. And see, it's growing and understanding that God has got you. God's working these things out. And it's up for us to do what? If you will, be a Rahab. What? Go into the room. Go into the room. Apply the blood. Hope in Him. It's interesting because that word in verse 21 says, according to your word, so be it. And so she sent them away. They departed. She bound the scarlet cord. The word cord is line. It is. But you know what it also is? It's hope. It's the weirdest thing. The word means hope. It means expectation. She put that expecting. Expecting what? That the word of these spies was right. No, no. She really did see God above all. And so do you. So do I. It's to accept it. Stop beating yourself saying God's rejected you. He hasn't. Stop knocking yourself down saying, God, I'm just hopeless. I'm helpless. No, your hope is in Him, not you. And the work that He wants to do. And the work He is doing. Good news. Good news. I've said this many times. When you arrive, you're not half-baked. You're not half-whole. You're complete. You're perfect. So my prayer for all of us is be at rest. But stay in. Stay in His presence. Stay in His hope. Stay in faith and trust in Him. Know it. Walk it. Share it. There may be a Rahab around you. It's crying out. It's really thirsty and hurting. It's lonely, that's empty. And maybe God's just waiting for somebody to go into their Jericho and share the truth with them. And it could be you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your word and Your truth. And we just pray, Lord, as we've gone over these things, we know and we recognize that we're no better than Rahab, Lord. But still, we just thank You for, again, Your love towards us, that You sent Your Son to die for us. We understand, acknowledge, and confess with our mouth that the Lord is God. The Lord Jesus died for our sins. That He died our sins upon Him, buried. The grave could not hold Him down. He resurrected. He told us that if you believe in Me, you shall never die, but you have eternal life. That our victory over death is through Him. That now that He sits at the right hand of the throne of God, with the door wide open for us to fellowship with Him. Lord, help us to realize this in such a way now that we apply in our lives that we are the children of God. Help us to walk in enjoyment of that and the freedom of that. But help us truly to walk in the Spirit in that. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would walk in us and through us. Empower us. Strengthen us where we're weak. Forgive us for our doubts. And as the man who some have to cry out, help us in our unbelief. For we do believe. And Lord, I just pray that all of us would be rest assured this morning, that they are saved. It is in Christ Jesus' name we pray.